You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back for a special hour-long conversation with the Vice President for Research and Analysis of the Center for Security Policy, a former career clandestine intelligence officer in the Central Intelligence Agency, the formidable Claire Lopez. And Claire, you were talking about this group, the U.S. CMO, and we've written a book on the subject. You've been the driving force behind that, the Star-Spangled Sharia, it's called. Describe, if you would, the overarching political agenda of this U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations.
Well, this U.S. CMO is an umbrella organization comprising dozens now of Muslim Brotherhood organizations in America. As we said a bit ago, prominent leadership in that group include CARE, also MPAC, Muslim Political Affairs Council, and other Muslim Brotherhood front groups in the United States. It was formed in 2014. We document this in that book published for the Center, Star-Spangled Sharia, last year, 2015. Formed in 2014 with an agenda to galvanize the Muslim population in America to be more active in the political arena. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. They've laid out their leadership, Secretary General Usama Jamal and others, have laid out an agenda for insinuating Muslim Brotherhood objectives into the U.S. political system. Now, ordinarily, we would say any participation and increase in participation by American citizens in the electoral political process would be a good thing. And ordinarily it would be, except when the agenda is driven by the very jihadist Muslim Brotherhood, whose objectives we know, jihad in the way of Allah and dying in jihad, the highest aspiration. So they've laid out this agenda for this election year in particular, 2016 here, to begin fielding candidates at the very lowest levels of the different races, city council, library board, school board, that sort of thing, with the idea that these Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated candidates would some of them be elected and rise up through the political system to eventually. They're playing a long game here.
They are playing a long game. This is very much central to the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood. Of course, its efforts to destroy us from within by our own hands, as they put it. Our guest is Claire Lopez. And Claire, you were talking about this U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations and some of its prominent member groups, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, the Council of Muslim American, Council on American Islamic Relations, the Islamic Society of North America, and so on. What joins these groups, and for that matter, a whole host of others that we are very concerned about at the moment, notably the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Boko Haram, and so on, is something called Sharia. Would you talk a little bit about that and how these various groups manifested?
Of course, is Islamic law. It is what defines Islamic law. It is a codification of law that was finalized, set in stone. It's immutable. It can't be touched, can't be changed since the 10th century, that is the beginning of the 900s, by the scholars of Islam at that time. It bounds the lives of all Muslims everywhere in obedience to Islam. Now, of course, there are lots of Muslims, just like any other faith, who are rather lackadaisical about the practice of their faith and pay more attention to other things like families and jobs. And in this case, it's a good thing, because Sharia is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution and really Western liberal thought overall. It demands inequality between Muslims and non-Muslims, between men and women. It mandates certain horrific, what they call hudud, punishments based on the Quran itself for crimes, in quotes, as they say, for adultery, apostasy, homosexuality, sometimes for slander. So these are things that set Sharia completely at odds with the U.S. Constitution and our laws derived from it. Unfortunately, Muslim Brotherhood being a jihadist organization and all of its groups and front groups as well, whether they're violent jihadis throwing bombs and shooting guns or the jihadis in suits that we see more often up on Capitol Hill from CARE or ISNA or MPAC and other groups, are all dedicated to the same thing, and that is the global enforcement of Sharia, of Islamic law.
And the creation of some kind of caliphate, I guess, to rule according to it worldwide as
and
well.
And a caliphate, which would be an Islamic state like we see in the Middle East right now, which would be the enforcing mechanism, the enforcing arm, organization of the Islamic state to enforce Sharia in society, which is why the Islamic state over there now that has formed a caliphate for the first time in 100 years is so popular. It is true, pure Islam, and that is also why we're never going to see the Sunni or surrounding Islamic countries of the Middle East region really take them on, because theologically they can't. They haven't a theological Islamic leg to stand on, and they know it.
Hey, Claire, this has of course been a proposition that has been getting a lot more attention of late, thanks in part to the controversy surrounding the man who is at the center of attention at the moment in Cleveland, the Republican nominee in waiting for president, Donald Trump, and his declaration a few months back that we should stop, well, my words, not his, importing more jihadists. Also some rumination on this proposition and more broadly the challenge that we're facing from these Sharia adherent Muslims, again not all Muslims but the ones that that are, you know, devoted to this authoritative version of Islam, by Newt Gingrich. Talk if you would a little bit about those two aspects of how Americans are beginning to come to grips with the reality of the Sharia business and what you think the way ahead is.
Right. Well, because Sharia is the defining governing structure of Islam itself, and all Muslims everywhere for all time are obligated to obey it whether they do or not, the problem with bringing in refugees or other kinds of immigrants, asylees, etc., becomes problematic when they are obviously or declared of the Muslim faith. How do you separate out Muslims who perhaps would not care to follow Sharia, who would, in other words, be unfaithful Muslims, from those who indeed are faithful to their own creed? And so when presidential candidate, a presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump, also former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, and also I would add Representative Brian Babin of Texas, have all proposed kind of hitting the pause button on refugee and immigration from places or populations where we cannot be sure of the ideological allegiance of those we're proposing to bring to the country.
Yeah, it seems like an eminently sensible approach, and the fact that it's going to doubtless be a subject of some controversy for some time to come, I hope will actually be beneficial in the sense that it will cause more people to reflect on the central nature of this Sharia threat. Claire, let's pause for just a moment. When we come back, I want to talk about this caliphate idea and the role that the president of Turkey seems to be playing in bringing one about as well. That and more with Claire Lopez of the Center for Security Policy. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.